Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, The Character of Bharata Maharaj, Text 18. It's a prose text, so I'll just read it, read the Sanskrit myself. Api chanavrika salavrikanyatamo va naikachara ekacharo va bhaktashayati. Translation, please repeat. I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or a dog, or by the boars that flock together, or the tiger who travels alone. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Tigers never wander in the forest and flocks. Each tiger wanders alone, but the forest boars keep together. Similarly, hogs, wolves, and dogs also do the same. Thus, Maharaj Bharata thought that the deer had been killed by some of the many ferocious animals within the forest. So Maharaj Bharata was an advanced transcendentalist who had been meditating, performing his bhajan in the forest, and somehow or other he became attached to this little deer, and it distracted him from his practice of devotional service in the forest. The material attachment, material feelings of love and affection are reflections, perverted reflections of the soul's original love and affection for, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just as in a pure spiritual love for Krishna, prema, you know, we see all kinds of varieties. So also in, you know, the perverted reflections of this original spiritual love, we also see varieties. The two main varieties of love are Sambhoga and Viparlamba, love in meeting and love in separation. So Sambhoga means love in meeting, and Viparlamba means love in separation. So Maharaj Bharata had developed this loving affection for this deer, this material deer, and thus he had become distracted from his practice of devotional service. And he'd become distracted in both ways. You know, when the deer was around, when the deer was physically present, you know, he was very entranced by its little deer features, its big deer eyes, its... And he became very entranced by it and thus distracted from his practice of devotional service. So, you know, that's a perverted reflection of this love and Sambhoga meeting. And then when the deer was gone, he was experiencing the other side of this love and affection, love and separation, attachment for the deer and separation, or vipra lumba. So he was wondering, has the deer perhaps been killed? This is a sign of love, this fear that something bad may have happened to the beloved. And these kinds of things, as I said, they're reflections of spiritual realities. There's this vipralamba seva, this service of Krishna and separation, which can also involve fear for Krishna. We see it, for example, in the love Mother Yashoda felt for her child Krishna. When he was away herding the cows in the forest, sometimes she would be fearing that Krishna may have been in some danger from the wild animals in the forest, the jackals and things like that. But that is a purifying kind of fear because it's in relationship to Krishna. Actually, in terms of Krishna's birth pastimes, Janma Leela, we also see this in relationship to his apparently taking birth. Of course, Krishna's never born, but sometimes he appears to take birth from one of his devotees. So his mother, Devaki, in Mathura, she had first six children who were all killed by her brother Kamsa. And here our acharyas tell us that these six children had earlier births as demons. And actually, they represent different material obstacles to devotional service, like kama, which is lust, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, illusion, mada, pride, and matsarya, envy. So before pure love for Krishna can arise in the heart, these six obstacles to devotional service have to be removed. So Kamsa, according to our acharyas, symbolically represents fear. Fear of these six obstacles to devotional service. So when by fear of these things and a desire to advance in devotional service, we remove these obstacles from our heart by the power of Lord Balaram, who was actually the seventh child of Devaki, then that prepares the way for Krishna to appear in the heart. So sometimes fear is a good thing. Normally, we consider it to be a bad thing. Sometimes we talk about the material activities, the four principal material activities. Generally, we call them eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if we actually look at the Sanskrit word, it's baya, for defending. I mean, what we translate as defending is baya, which actually means fear. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, he explains that. That there's ahara, eating. You know, eating is one of the material activities that we share with the animals. Nidra, sleeping, that's one of the material activities that we share with the animals. There's maitana, mating. It's another activity that we share with the animals. And then finally, there's bhaya, or fear, which is a very prominent emotion in the material world. There's fear. Janma mrityu jaravyati dukkadoshana darshanam. The material world is a fearful place. At any moment, one can be struck down by some disease. Old age is there waiting for everyone. Finally, death, rebirth. So the material world is a place of fear. Just like Maharaj Bharata, he was afraid that something had happened to his deer. So sometimes we may be afraid for ourselves, that we may be placed in some dangerous situation, or we may be afraid for some loved one, whether it be an animal or another person. So here he's experiencing that material fear that his beloved little deer had come to some dangerous end in the forest. But as I said, this kind of fear is a reflection of something that can actually be a spiritual reality. Said Krishna's devotees are sometimes afraid for him. That's an aspect of this vipralamba seva, this love and separation. When Krishna was separated from Mother Yashoda off in the forest, she would worry about his safety. Of course, so many demons had attacked Krishna, so perhaps she had a right to be afraid like that for her beloved child. This is an aspect of love. It's an aspect of this vipralamba seva, love and separation. Our acharyas like Rupa Goswami, they explain these things in great detail. They explain that this vipralamba seva, love and separation, it exists in four varieties. There's purvaraga, which means before the lover and beloved even meet, they have some attraction for each other, but they can't really meet with each other. Like when Radha and Krishna were children, they knew about each other, but they couldn't meet. So they were experiencing this aspect of purvaraga. Then sometimes there's another mood of separation, even when the lover and beloved are together. It's called mana. Mana means a lot of things. It's a complex term, but it can mean anger. So that when sometimes when Radha and Krishna were together and they had had some dispute or quarrel, then even though they were physically together, they wouldn't be in a mood of meeting each other. Or sometimes they were actually separated, as when Krishna went away from Vrindavan. It was called pravasa. When the lover and beloved are actually physically separated, which is kind of the case here. This is a perverted reflection of that here, that somehow or other, the deer has wandered away, the beloved deer has wandered away, and in this situation, Bharata Maharaj is feeling this love and separation. And then there's the fourth kind of emotion in Viparlamba. It's called Prema Vaichitya, which means even when the beloved is present, there's the fear that the lover will be lost, go away, disappear. So, our acharyas explain these things very deeply. And if we look at this pastime of Maharaj Bharata, we see a lot of perverted reflections of these spiritual realities. So somehow or other he'd become attached to a deer, but it's not necessarily in all cases bad to become attached to a deer. Radharani has pet deer, for example, which he's very much attached to. But in relationship to Krishna, Krishna's attached to the cows. It's not a bad thing. So, there can be transcendental attachments which nourish and increase our love for Krishna. When we see something that's, if we see a cow and that reminds us of Krishna, then that's transcendental. If we see a deer and that reminds us of Radharani's pet deer, well, that's transcendental. But if we become attached to some animal or person or thing in such a way that it distracts from our remembrance of Krishna, distracts from our practice of devotional service to Krishna, then it becomes a bad thing. And that's what we're being told in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yesterday we heard a nice story about becoming attached to a little puppy dog. Recently I had some experience about how devotees can become attached to little animals. When I was in Hungary recently, a devotee householder couple, they took me on some walks in the forested hills of Hungary. So one day we were out walking in the hills, and then gradually you come down out of the forested hills to the populated areas. First, just a few little houses and things and forest paths. And while we're coming down one forest path, the three of us, a little kitten started following us. A little kitty cat. And it followed us for a long time. So we kind of stopped and looked at it. It had a little blue ribbon around its neck. It obviously belonged to somebody, but whoever that somebody was wasn't around. And we kept walking. The cat kept following it. We could actually see, you know, very clearly that it was really desiring some kind of human contact. So we kept walking, and it kept following. And finally, we came down to where the city started. And actually, the householder lady who was with us, you know, she started wondering, well, what are we going to do with this cat? And she'd become a little bit affectionate towards it. Was wondering what to do, because as we were kind of getting into the city with all the traffic and stuff, it became obvious that the cat kept following us. It was going to probably get injured by a car or something like that. So then, there's a decision. Should we take the cat with? Then you've got a cat that you have to take care of. So what we decided to do is, because on the hike we had some prasadam with us. There was a little park right before the big city began. So we just decided to give the cat a whole bunch of prasadam. And that distracted him so that we could walk away without him following us. So, and we thought that was the best way to solve the dilemma. But attachment to things in relationship to Krishna is not necessarily a bad thing. So here, we see that Maharaj Bharata was very worried because the deer that he was attached to was out in the forest, and he was feeling some fear. But the whole purpose of devotional service is to remove this kind of material fear and material attachment, from our hearts. Svalpamapasya dharmasya trayate mato bayat. The Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that if we practice devotional service, then all kinds of fear, including the most dangerous fear, will be removed from our heart. The most dangerous fear is losing the human form of life, descending into the animal species, which is a lesson we're going to see played out here as this pastime continues. We're going to see that because of his attachment to the deer, then Maharaj Bharata does have to enter into the body of an animal, a deer. Mm-hmm. Now, fortunately, because of his contact with devotional service, he's given a human body again in his next life, and so devotional service is meant to take us to the platform of abhayam, fearlessness. Actually, that was Srila Prabhupada's given name, Abhay. It's the name his parents gave him. And when he was initiated by his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he got the name Abhay Charanaravinda, which means fearlessness at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. And so that is the position you know, we want to attain. We all want to become AC. Doesn't mean air conditioned. Yeah, Abhay Charanaravinda. Yeah, we would also like to attain that position of fearlessness, absolute fearlessness at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Of course, you have to be intelligent even about that. You know, in the name of absolute fearlessness, we cannot just do anything and everything. Yeah, there's story of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was one of the six Goswamis, one of the assistants of Lord Chaitanya, in restoring Vrindavan as a place of pilgrimage. You know, Lord Chaitanya and his followers went to Vrindavan and they performed what I call transcendental archaeology. You know, they relocated lost places of pilgrimage. They excavated lost deities of Krishna. Actually, that was one of the reasons I went to Hungary. There was a big international conference on history of science. So I went there and I presented a paper called Rewriting the History of Indian Archaeology. Because mostly they think archaeology began in India when the Europeans came there and started digging up things and investigating old ruins and things like that. But I pointed out, no, that it didn't begin then. India had its own independent archaeological tradition. And I gave the example of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis going to Vrindavan. And, you know, they excavated so many lost deities. They excavated so many lost places of pilgrimage, like Radhakund and Shamakund, for example. Those places are very sacred to Radha and Krishna. But when Lord Chaitanya went there, nobody could tell him where those places were. He had a Brahmin guide. His Brahmin guide couldn't tell him. The local residents couldn't tell him. But with his transcendental vision, you know, one day he was sitting beneath a tree looking across the fields, and he saw two little ponds. And in his vision, he could see that, yes, those were Radhakund and Shamakund. So later, you know, he instructed Raghunath Das Goswami to excavate those places. And Raghunath Das Goswami went there to do that. But when he went there to excavate those places and develop them into places of pilgrimage, you know, the places of pilgrimage that we can now visit, it was a very wild place with tigers, wolves, wild dogs, boars wandering in the forest. So it was a very dangerous place. So near, you know, Radhakund, there's the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami, his Bhajan Kutir, and there you can see a painting of how when Raghunath Das Goswami first went to Radhakund, you know, sometimes he would be sitting all by himself, chanting his japa, doing his bhajan in the blazing sun. And, you know, in the painting, you can see Radharani holding her sari over his head to protect him from the sun. And you can also see different wild animals like tigers approaching him. And you can see in the painting Krishna trying to protect him from the tigers. So his associates told him, yeah, maybe you should build yourself a bhajan kutir, a little hut, so that Krishna, Radha don't have to directly protect you in this way. So he did that. So in the name of absolute fearlessness. Yeah, we shouldn't take needless risks, in devotional service. We have to be intelligent how we approach our devotional service. So here, we're seeing how Maharaj Bharata, he was afraid that his beloved deer might be in some danger from the wild animals in the forest, the tigers, the wolves, the hogs, the dogs. And because of this perverted reflection of love for Krishna and separation, he had become distracted from his practice of devotional service. And because of that, because of this attachment, he's going to, as we see, enter into the body of a deer in his next life. So I'll stop there. Any comments or questions? Vijay Prabhu?
Just a comment. You mentioned how fear can also be used in a positive way. Prabhupada said, we're not enough afraid of Maya.
Very good point. Yes, we should be afraid of Maya. We should be worried about the obstacles to devotional service. Yes, that's true.
Regarding this point you made about sometimes something may remind you of Krishna, and at other times the same thing may distract you from Krishna, with regard to the deer you mentioned. Rupa Goswami says in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu that just as the sun pulls water out of the ocean, forms it into clouds, and then rains back on into the ocean, so similarly, things that are seen in relationship with Krishna, they can increase, love of Krishna increases itself like that. But how is it that, it seems like there's not really any way to determine what's going to remind someone of Krishna and what's going to distract someone from Krishna. But someone can see, two people can see the same thing, and one is reminded of Krishna and one is not. So maybe you can just elaborate on that.
Yes, well, even in this case, somebody may have just been, seen a deer, then reminded of, oh, that's like Radharani's pet deer. The same stimulus could have different results in different people according to their mentalities and their inclinations. Yes, that's that's very true. And how can you tell? It's something that you mentioned yesterday. Driving along the coast highway, there's guardrails there. So I was thinking there's also something similar to that, because when you're driving, your mind can wander, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhava mad bhakto, keep your mind focused on me, remain engaged in devotional service. But then he also says the mind is very difficult to control and it can wander off. So if the mind is focused on Krishna, then you'd be engaged in devotional service. The mind wanders from Krishna, then the practice of devotional service is most likely going to be disturbed. So just like when you're driving, if your mind is focused, you know, on the road, you could say you're liable to drive safely and get to your destination. If your mind is distracted, then there's the chance for an accident and you're not reaching your destination, just like they're coming up with all kinds of laws now about no using cell phones or texting in cars and things like that, because they're seeing that if people become distracted, then they tend to get in more accidents. So on a lot of roads, they have on the side, you know, these little ridges so that, you know, if you drift off, your car starts going. And I think the idea is that you'll wake up. You know, if your mind is kind of drifted off and you've kind of lost your focus and you start drifting off the road, when the car hits those little bumps and starts going, you know, you understand, I've got to get back on the path. So the rules and regulations of devotional service are kind of like that. If we find ourselves having problems with them, you know, if we experience those bumps of having difficulties with the rules and regulations of devotional service, we should probably understand that our mentality needs to be reformed, so that, you know, we may, you know, think something is leading us in the direction of Krishna, but if it's leading us in a direction in which we find ourselves having, you know, difficulties with sadhana bhakti, then, you know, we even though for someone else it may be leading them in the direction of devotional service, if we, you know, find that we are being led in a way that causes us difficulty in sadhana bhakti, then because we might say, well, I like to study, so I just, you know, perform my study of devotional literature, but in such a way that it causes me to start having problems with the rules and regulations of devotional service, the, you know, the practice of sadhana bhakti, then maybe, although maybe for someone that might be a good thing to become so much absorbed in devotional literature like that, it may not be having the proper effect on our own consciousness. So that's one thing. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.